look at some of the images and stuff that we're going to be checking out here in class. So again, this document is in the Bodleian Library, and the library has released a limited amount of images. I did hear somebody gave me a message, sent me a message this week that apparently there's plans to create a full book on manuscript 98 with photographic images of the whole thing. So I don't know when that's going to be ready or whatever, but if it comes out, you can bet I'm going to buy it. So I would have access to it. But this is Bot 1602. Again, this is a 1602 Bishop's Bible with the handwritten notations of the translators in the margin as they are revising the the Bishop's Bible according to Rule 1 into what would ultimately become the King James. Okay? So let's get right into the notes, the introduction. And last week in Lesson 172, we began discussing the Old Testament annotations found in Bot 1602. So again, if you're following along online, I'm right here, first point in the introduction, okay? We did so by following Dr. Edward Jacobs' 1975 essay, The Papers of the Bibliographic Society of America, titled An Old Testament Copy Text for the 1611 Bible. After looking at three sample passages in Numbers 15, Psalms 10, and Proverbs 27, we were able to observe the veracity of the following statements made by Professor Jacobs. Number one. Some 90% of the Old Testament annotations found in Bot 1602 represent the text of the AV. So all of the annotations that are in the margins on Bot 1602, 90% of them represent the final text of the authorized version or the King James Bible of 1611. Okay? Class 1 of amended readings in the annotated portions of the Bishop's Bible comprise annotated and unannotated verses which agree exactly with parallel AV readings. So again, that's the same thing we just said, just put a little bit different way. There are a couple different classes of annotations. Class 1 are those where there are no annotations and annotations, and they equal the final product of 1611. 90% of the readings, annotated or not annotated, are exactly identical to the King James. So 90% of all the annotations are in this class. And then last, thirdly, third point there, the first observation of these collated verses is that the only other readings that agree exactly with the amended readings of Psalm 10, 9 through 10, and Proverbs 27, 15 are the AV readings. So that's just, again, a quick summary of what we saw last time when we looked at Class 1. And I showed you those that category. Okay, Dr. Jacobs' doctoral thesis contains an extensive catalog of examples, too numerous to cover in these lessons, proving the connection between the 1602 Bod 1602 and the authorized version of 1611. I told you this last week. Literally, we could go for 3 or 4 weeks just looking at example after example after example of Class 1 readings in Bod 1602, okay? We could go on for weeks and weeks. I showed you 3 last week. I think that's sufficient to make the point, all right? I want to move on now to look at a different class here this morning. So in this lesson, we want to make some additional important observations regarding the connection between the Old Testament sections of Bod 1602 and the AV. Now, before we go any further, does anybody have any comments or questions about the introduction or anything from last week? My wife's not here, so she was here last week. She's like, that was like a college class. That was what she said about. And I'm like, yeah, so what? we're into it, guys. I mean, and I'm okay with it because this needs to be done as far as I'm concerned. So Bot 1602 Old Testament continued. So I'm on page 1, and we're going to get into new information if there's no questions. All right. So in his essay, Dr. Jacobs addressed an additional class or category of annotations found in Bot 1602 that needs to be noted. According to Jacobs, a consideration of this class strengthens the connection between Bod 1602 and the AV beyond what we observed last week in Lesson 1. That also needs to be amended. So let's just stop there. You see how that says Lesson 169? Yeah. So when I first typed these, I thought this was going to be lesson 169, but we're on lesson 173. So as you can see, like, what I originally planned is not at all what we're doing. So that needs to be changed to lesson 173. The reason why it's so off, if you guys think back to January, you remember that I was literally presented in real time with information on two more documents, okay?
172?
Should say 172, yeah. What did I say?
73.
We're in 73 now. It should say 172.
Yeah.
So we're a few weeks off what my original thought was. But anyway, here's what Jacob said, quote, that this relationship between Old Testament annotations and the AV reflects the efforts of the King James translators becomes even clearer in Class 2 of the amended readings. Now listen carefully. Class 2 includes those annotated verses and those unannotated verses within the annotated portions which do not fully agree with parallel AV readings. Now, here's why. Some 5 to 10% of the annotations are in this class. This small but significant percentage of the annotations proves that these annotations are not a collation between the texts of the Bishop's Bible and the AV. Because the number of these verses is small, it is clear that annotations are a record of the nearly finished translation, probably as it was when sent to the Committee of Final Review in London. The committee checked this work, revised some 5 to 10%, and supplied a master copy from which Robert Barker printed the first edition of the AV in 1611. So understand what this class 2 is. So class 1, let's just review. Class 1 is those examples. So class 1 are examples where the annotations in Bod 1602 match the AV exactly. They're an identical match to the AV. Then that would be in annotated and unannotated verses. Is everybody with me? So class 2 is different. And by the way, this is some 90% of everything that's in the Old Testament. Class 2 is different. Class 2 is when Bod 1602 and the AV are not an identical match. Which means these verses were further revised by the Committee of Final Review. So Committee of Final Review. So this represents some 5 to 10% of the readings, okay, are going to be in this class. So this is what we talked about last week when I showed you those examples. This is what we're going to be looking at here today. Now, what Jacobs is going to argue is because of 90% here and a small number here, and when you actually do the math and figure this out, this is like ironclad proof that both 1602 or Bod 1602 was the draft work of the translators and not produced after the fact. Because there are additional revisions that show up in the AV that were not in what? Bod 1602. Is everybody tracking with all that? I know there's sort of a lot to track with there, but I think it should be pretty clear. Let's go to page 2 of the notes. This, of course, means that the Old Testament revision work recorded in Bod 1602 represents the completed translation work of multiple companies that was then forwarded to the Committee of Final Review at Stationers' Hall in London. Dr. Jacobs provides three examples of this class of readings. We're going to look at Psalm 62, verse 3, Song of Solomon 3, 2, and Jeremiah 4, verse 22. Okay, so does everybody understand so far what that's saying? So let's look at the first example then from Psalm 62, verse 3. So the first bullet point, I'm right here, okay? The following is an image of the reading found in the 1602 Bishop's Bible. So this is the base, this is a photograph, a screenshot of the base text from my 1602 Bishop's Bible that is that top image, okay? Next point. Bod 1602 reads as follows according to the annotations found therein. Please note that the blue annotations represent those confirmable annotations via Jacob's essay. He only commented on the final clause of the verse. Okay? The red markings represent changes that were made to the 1602 Bishop's text by the King James translators at some point, should say, in the process. We cannot know, because of limited access to Bod 1602, if they were noted in the Bodleian Bible or represent later revisions by the general meeting. So here's what I'm talking about, okay? So, let's look at the second image. So, unfortunately, Jacob's in his essay. Now, let me be clear about this, okay? This is the only image released online. So, unless we're talking about Second Samuel 17, this is the only image released online. There are a few images, like I showed you last week in his doctoral thesis, but we're going to have to rely on his description of it. We know that his descriptions are reliable because we confirmed them last week in lesson 172. So he only comments, guys, on this blue part of the verse. So in his paper, he comments on the changes that are in blue here. Okay? So let's look at this. So he comments on the last clause. So here's what the bishops had originally. Ye shall be vain, I think. No, that's not even what I want. I want starting right here. Yea, as the tottering wall shall ye be, and like a broken hedge. So I'm not trying to be confusing. I apologize. Let's start here. We're looking at the last clause, okay? Yea, as a tottering wall shall ye be, and like a broken hedge. So that was the starting point, okay? Jacob's only comments on the part that is in blue. So, if we look at the part that's in blue, tottering was changed to bowing. So instead of yea as a tottering wall, they change it in Bod 1602 to bowing wall, shall ye be. And like is substituted for as a broken hedge is switched to tottering hedge. Okay? So they make a change. They take tottering out here and put in bowing. And then here they take out broken and put in what? Tottering. Now there are the ones in red. Additional changes compared to the 1611, okay? So, at some point, the change, every was taken out, replaced with a, okay? And this clause here, the frost, or the, that's an S, the sort, I guess? It's a little hard to read the font. But these additional changes in red were made. So the final bishop at the end read as follows. So I'm right here. Okay? I'm right here. Yea, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering hedge. So does everybody see the changes that were made there? Okay? Let's look at the AV now. So look at the verse. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be
slain.
Yes, all of you. Now watch, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. What is the difference?
Fence.
Now, if we go back up and we look at the bishops, or Bod 1602, they had what?
Hedge.
Did the revisers, late in the game, decide that should not say hedge, but that they preferred it to say what? Fence. So is that a revision beyond Bod 1602?
Yes.
So that represents a late change to the reading, okay? Now, I want you to also notice here, so at some point they change a man. Remember up here, that was what I had in red with every, and that was changed to what?
A.
And we also see that this clause here, the sort, is struck, is stricken, and it does not show up in the AV. Now, the reason these are in red is because I don't know for sure when they were made. I don't know for sure when they were made. They were changes that were made. I don't know if they're in both 1602 or not, because Jacobs didn't say. He only talked about this last clause in his essay, and I don't have a photograph of it, of the image, or an image of the document for this verse. But I included the changes anyway in red so that people could track with the changes that are ultimately made, right? So at the end of the process, late in the game, hedge is changed to what?
Fence.
So let's look at the point now at the bottom of page 2. Following the annotations marked in blue, we can see the final review committee at Stationers Hall accepted the following revisions into the AV as amended by Bode 1602. Okay? They changed tottering to bowing. Did I say something wrong?
I noticed that they took yay out of there. Yay as a tottering.
They did take yay out of there.
No.
It's not in the picture.
And I think that other word that you thought was sort, I think it's host.
You mean up here? Host, all the host of you?
You should be slain, all the host of you.
That makes sense. Okay, so Sylvia, we need to make a note that I need to, at some point, the yay was also taken out.
Where is that?
That's right here.
It's up here.
So if you go up to the next one, the bishop says yay as. You see that?
Yeah.
And then when you look in the King James, that's why we're doing this, because I missed stuff. The yay is missing. So there's an additional change there that is removed from the 1611. So good catch. Let's look at the bottom of page 2 again. Following the annotations marked in blue, we can see that the final review committee at Stationers Hall accepted the following revisions into the AV amended by Bod 1602. First, they changed tottering to bowing. Okay? So again, that's this change right here. They changed tottering to bowing. They changed like here to as. And then they changed broken to tottering. Let's go to page 3. A careful reading will note that the final review committee added one additional change to the verse, and now we're saying possibly two, right? A careful reading will note that the final review committee made one additional change to the verse not noted in Bod 1602. The word hedge at the end of the verse was changed to fence in the AV. Now here, no other pre-1611 English Bible contains the word fence at the end of Psalm 62, verse 3. It was a final revision made at the general meeting. So when we look at this, guys, and we see, and we might also add the removal of yay. But when we look at this change, who made the change from hedge to fence?
The final
stop on the track before we get to the printing of the Bible here. Can we identify that change being made by the final review? You guys see what I'm saying here, okay? Now, I appreciate you guys working with me on this, because this does get a little tedious, but it's important work. Anybody got any questions about the first example? Okay, let's go to the second example, which is Song of Solomon 3, verse 2. So the following image is found in the 16th screenshot of the base verse, as it appeared in a 1602 Bishop's Bible. In the image below, readers can view the verse as amended by the annotations in Bod 1602. Once again, the blue markings represent the emendations found in Bod 1602 according to Dr. Jacobs. Red markings note changes made to the 1602 Bishop's Bible by the King James translators, the timing of which is not clear, because they are not noted by Dr. Jacobs. Therefore, we cannot know for certain if they were noted in Bod 1602 or made by the general meeting. So again, the red represents changes. I don't know exactly the timing of them, but I included them in red so that you could see all of the changes that were ultimately made to this verse. Okay? So let's look at the verse then, as, and we'll concentrate on the blue. So the verse says, I will. So this part is stricken. Get up through is taken out for simply rise now. All right? And go about the city. The word and is inserted here. In the broad ways is inserted. The word broad is inserted. This whole line is taken out. In all the streets will I, so in all the streets is taken out, will I is flipped to I will. Seek him whom my soul loveth. Then this part is taken out of the AV in red, but when I sought him, right, sought him, I found, but is included here in red, but I found him not. So the amended reading, according to the emendations in the Bishop's Bible, which we know are the ones in blue, reads, I will rise now and go about the city, and in the broad ways I will seek him. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. And then we know that in red here there are a couple of other changes that are at some point are inserted. We don't know if they were in both six by the final review committee. Okay, but now we can look at the AB. We see something interesting here, okay? Notice, I will rise now and go about the city. Well, look at this phrase I have in the blue bracket. In the streets, okay? If you go up to the previous image, they had what there?
In the ways.
They had here, in the broad ways. You see that? They had in the broad ways. They had already taken out in the street. They had already taken that out before. They wanted it to say in the broad way. So if we look at this line right here, you can see what they amended. I will rise now and go about the city, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth, right? So then when we look here at the AV, we can see that they have changed in the broad ways to what?
In the streets.
In the streets. So when was this change to in the streets made?
Well, they still have in the broad ways.
Yeah, it's telling after that.
Am I?
Right after it.
So they reinsert it in a different spot.
Yeah.
You guys should teach this lesson. I obviously have no idea what I'm talking about here. Okay? The point is, this clause is not in the emendations.
Right?
Recorded in Bod 1602. The clause is inserted in late in the game by the Committee of Final Review. So, yes, I was reading that wrong, so I do apologize for that.
All they did was reverse it.
So they took what there originally was, and they originally took this out in the streets, right?
Yeah.
But then what they do is they take that clause and they reinsert it here, before this part about in the broad ways. But that change is not made in Bod 1602. That change is made after when? After Bod 1602. So it is a revision that is made by the Committee of Final Review. Then if you track with the red changes, you can see that all of those show up ultimately here. It says but there instead of what? The but is inserted. I'll make this a little smaller. It's inserted here. Here's the but. It's inserted. This is removed. But when is removed there before I fought him. You can see I fought him. The but him is removed. And then the but is put in there after that clause. Okay? So we see then clearly that in the streets is an emendation that is made by the Committee of Final Review. So let's go to page 4. Careful comparison, which apparently I can't do today. Careful comparison reveals that the AV accepts all of the emendations noted in BOS 1602 with one noticeable addition. So I should have read my own work and I would have seen that I had it right the first time. The final review committee added the phrase "in the streets" as part of its final revision work. So all of the changes that are made are accepted into the AV, except they reinsert this phrase in a different spot than where it originally was in the 1602 Bishop's Bible, indicating that change is made by the committee of final review. So this is why this is so important over here, right? So these class two readings prove that there was further revision to the AV after the production of what? BOD 1602. So if you have 5 to 10% in this class and 90% in that class, what we are truly looking at when we look at this document is their draft work, is their work as they are amending the 1602 Bishop's text into what would ultimately become the King James Bible. Okay? Any questions? So I had it right the first time. I should have just read my own notes. But that's what happens when I wrote these notes like 6 weeks ago. You got so much stuff floating around in my head, I forget my own stuff. Any questions about that example? I feel like this is too clunky and confusing. If you're confused, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to confuse anybody.
But actually, there wasn't much of a change there because I kind of like the way they changed it, because it went from broad to streets, which is more general, and then it started with the more general streets to the broad ways. So it made more.
I think it reads better the way they...
Yeah.
I think the final product, okay... I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Sounds way better than what it originally started as. Okay. Yeah, good point, Bart. Appreciate that. Any other questions about that example? Now again, guys, we're looking at three examples of each. We looked at three examples last week of class one. Now we're looking at three examples of class two. We could look at probably 2 weeks more worth of examples, but I think this is sufficient to get the point. Now, this verse has tons of revision. Tons. Okay? So those of you that have the copy and you're looking at it, you can see. So Jeremiah 4 verse 22, the following is an image of the reading found in the 1602 bishops. So here's the starting point here. Okay? The 1602 bishops reads as follows. The red and blue markings are consistent with the comments made above in the previous two examples. Dr. Jacobs only commented on the emendations noted in blue, but I've included them all. The blue ones are the ones he talks about. The red ones are the rest. Okay? So let's just start with the part in blue. So the part in blue, we're talking about this clause right here. They are the children of foolishness. That is what was originally in the 1602 Bishop's Bible. Okay? Now notice the changes, okay? They are, the is removed. Foolish is inserted in front of children. Okay? And then this part of foolishness is removed. So here is the amended reading in this clause. It says, they are foolish what?
Children.
Instead of, they are the children of foolishness. It's more direct. It just says, they are foolish what? Children. Okay? Now, the rest of the changes, guys, is everything else that's changed. So you can see, is this entire first clause completely taken out of the verse? So instead of saying, nevertheless, this shall come upon them, that whole because is totally removed, okay? So that's removed. My people are become is removed. This part and have is changed to they have. This part here is removed without any, can't read that, direction, discretion. Is changed to they have none understanding. Then this is changed to do evil. They have wit enough. To do evil, they have wit enough, which is then changed to they are wise to do evil, which is way more readable. But to do good, well, they have well is changed to good, and they have no wisdom at the end is changed to they have no what? Knowledge. So is Jeremiah 4 verse 22 heavily changed from where it starts? Okay. So then we can look at the AV reading. Okay. So notice where does it says for my people? Okay. So the verse, they insert the word for. Now here's where we have to be careful, okay? And I think we need to be careful on that other one the more I think about it. We don't know if Bo 1602 inserted the word for because I can't see. I can't see it. All I know is that they take out this entire first clause and so they may have had a note to add for here. I don't know. I can't say, okay? So probably I should add it there because it does record a difference. But then if you look at the King James, it says, for my people is foolish, which matches. So if you look, it would say, for my people is foolish is in italics. They have not known me. They are stutish. I think it's stutish. Stottish? Stutish? Which would be two O's for stutish?
S-O-T-T-I-S-H.
Stottish or stutish?
Stottish.
Either way, they're not good.
It means stupid.
Stutish. Stottish? What are we saying here? Stottish? Okay. Don't need you to scan my PC right now. Thanks. Okay. So let's go to the next point. The final revisers at the general meeting changed foolish in Bod 1602 to stottish in the AV. No other pre-1611 English Bible reads stottish in this verse. So again, where was the change made from foolish to stottish? It was made at the committee of final what? Review. Okay. Now look, guys. I really seriously am not trying to tax your patience. I'm trying to get you to see, is there a very involved process where these verses are heavily scrutinized multiple times as they are working on this review process? Okay. And some of these changes we can literally pinpoint to things that were made at the final toll gate, if you will, before this thing went to the press at the Committee of Final Review. So, some of this is not exact, just because I don't actually have a picture of the image in front of me, okay? But we're doing the best we can, and we can certainly identify. So when he says, when Jacob says there at the top of page 5, when he says that stottish, when he says there at the top of page 5 that no other pre-1611 English Bible reached stottish in this verse, that means that word change was made as part of that final process of review. And it didn't come from anywhere else. It wasn't a reading that existed in Tyndale or anybody else. It was a reading that came into the text right at the very end before it was printed. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay. So, let's look at the summary statements of Jacobson on page 5.
Before you go there, what does the last phrase say? They are swift to do well? Or what's that?
Where are you at? What page?
At the bottom of 4. The last phrase, they are
wise.
They are wise to do.
Is that wise?
They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge.
Okay.
Again, part of the difficulty here is the font.
Yeah.
And the spelling. The font is tough to deal with, okay? Now it's readable, but you have to be in this you have to be familiar with it, otherwise it's gonna look like a foreign language a little bit, okay? But it is English, and this is the font types that they had at the time. But yeah, that phrase there, Bart, they are swift to do evil, Look at how they spell do.
Yeah.
D-O-E.
D-O-E. Okay? They are swift to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. So, yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yep. Thanks.
All right. Any other questions before we move on? So again, guys, when we look at this document, are we looking at their actual work in progress? Like, all the way. Apparently somebody's trying to hack my PC. They want to steal all my VOD pictures. My VOD 1602 pictures. All right, any questions there? Page 5 then, page 5. All right, summary statements of Jacobs. After discussing this class or category of emanations, Dr. Jacobs offers the following summary statement, quote, "The first observation evident from a study of these collated verses in class 2 is that the amended and AV readings do not agree with each other. Neither do the first two of the amended readings agree with any earlier readings of the verse. The amended readings do not then represent a collation effort between the Bishop's Bible and the AV, or between the Bishop's Bible and an earlier English Bible." Meaning, they are the decisions of who? The translators. It wasn't like somebody sat there after the fact and went through and compared and said, okay, they changed this. No, that's not what happened. Those are their actual work. This class of emendations is discussed in more detail in Dr. Jacobs' unpublished doctoral dissertation.